Hello and welcome to Through the Bible with Les Feldick, an inspirational and informative half hour of insight into the heart of Scripture. In addition to teaching the Bible, Les is a full-time rancher, having a down-to-earth practical teaching style that makes the Bible come to life. All programs are available on audio tape, videotape, and in printed form. At the end of the program, there will be an address where you can contact the ministry. And now, here's Les Feldick with today's lesson.
I think this same Muslim that wrote, that was one thing he couldn't comprehend. How can you teach that God walked around in the flesh? How can you teach that he arose from the dead and then walked around bodily? How can I? Because the book says it. And so here we have the infallible proofs. Now, there have been men who have gone out and almost given a lifetime to prove the fallacy of the resurrection of Christ. But after they dig into it, the more they see and the more they understand, they come away from it believers, invariably. And the thing that I always have to look at, if I need proof and I don't, I would just look at Peter and these other 10 men. How did they react when they first arrested Christ? What did they do? Why, they scattered like a bunch of quail. They were scared to death. What did Peter do? Denied him 3 times. Why? He was fearful for his own life. And that was typical. But after the resurrection, you don't see that kind of an attitude in Peter and the rest of the disciples. They're ready now to go to the very ends of persecution, knowing that no matter what happens to them physically, the power of the resurrection is still in our future. And so always remember that Peter especially, as we'll be going into the book of Acts, is a totally different person than he was leading up to the crucifixion. And why? Because he had witnessed the power of Christ's resurrection. It was not a figment of somebody's imagination. It was real. All right, now just to show you how real, and that he arose from the dead bodily, I'm going to have you come back with me now to Luke chapter 24. Luke 24. Now, these are all verses I'm sure you're familiar with. We aren't going to be bringing out anything brand new. But hopefully, we can bring it out in a way that it'll stick with you and that it'll reinforce your faith in some of the other things that are going to be coming down the pipe. Now, in Luke 24, I guess we can just as well start at verse 13. Luke 24, beginning at verse 13. And behold, two of them who went that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem about 70 furlongs, 5 or 6 miles, and they talked together of all these things which had happened. And it came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were holden that they should not know him. Now, you want to remember way back in Christ's earthly ministry, as they were up there in northern Israel, at Caesarea Philippi, at the head of waters of the Jordan River, and Jesus said, we go up to Jerusalem. Everything that has been written by the prophets concerning the Son of Man shall be accomplished, and they'll scourge him, they'll beat him, they'll put him to death. And on the third day, he'll rise again. And then you remember what the next verse says? And they, the 12, understood none of these things because it was hid from them. Well, who hid it? God did. He didn't let them understand that he was about to be crucified. And that's why it's so logical then to understand that those 12 men, the 11, we'll count Judas out now, but those 11 men had no idea he was going to die. And after he died, they had no idea he was going to be raised from the dead. In fact, what do? They go back to Galilee. It's all over. It's all done. And even as late as John's Gospel, chapter 20, when Peter and John ran to the sepulcher and they saw the evidence, they had to believe. And then the next verse says, for as yet they understood not the Scripture that he must arise from the dead. And so always remember that God can do this. And you and I are living in a day where He has removed that blindness. We can believe it if we'll just want to. All right, so these two men from Emmaus then didn't even comprehend who Jesus was as He took up, stepping along with them. Verse 17, and then He said unto them, Jesus said to these two, what manner of communications are these that you have one to another as you walk, and you're sad? And one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answering, said to him, art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem, and hast not known the things which are come to pass in these days? And He said unto them, what things? Oh, He knew. But you see, Jesus always draws it out of people, you know, with a question. And they said, concerning Jesus of Nazareth, who was a prophet, mighty indeed, and word before God and all the people, how the chief priests and the rulers delivered him to be condemned to death, and they've crucified him. We trusted, or we believed, that it had been He who should have been the one to redeem Israel. And beside all this, today is the third day since these things were done. Yea, and certain women also of our company made us astonished, who were early at the sepulchre. And then verse 25, just for sake of time. And then He said unto them, O fools and slow of heart to believe, all that the prophets have spoken, ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into His glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, He expounded of them all the scriptures of the things concerning Himself. The Old Testament was full of it. What did I say in the last half hour? Israel should have known. Israel could have known. The Old Testament was full of who He was and what would take place. But they didn't take the time to study. They didn't take the heart to really comprehend. And on top of that, of all things, I think God kept it from them. But anyway, verse 29. In verse 28, they thought that He would continue on His way, and they constrained Him, verse 29, saying, abide with us. For it is toward evening, and the day is far spent, and He went in to tarry with them. In other words, into their home. And it came to pass, as He sat at meat, at food, I imagine the evening meal, He took bread, and blessed it, and brake, and gave it to them, and their eyes were opened. Isn't that something? And they knew Him. And then He vanished out of their sight. Now, you want to remember that we are so programmed to physics and chemistry as we understand it. And that is, of course, in our natural area. But you see, when we get into eternity, God's physics, God's chemistry is going to be so totally beyond anything that we know today. We can't comprehend, I can't, that everything material, wood, steel, everything, is comprised of atoms. And these little atoms have as much space between their particles as just like a solar system. Now, we can't comprehend that. There's all the space in the world within the atom. And when God puts that into the eternal state, we're not going to have any trouble slipping through a wall. I'll never forget my old chemistry professor. I'll have to put this on the board. The old chemistry professor, he put it this way. He said, now, I'm going to make this dot just big enough so the people at the back row can see it. But he said, if I could let this dot represent the nucleus of an atom, then he said, the very first little particle in that outer orbit, those of you who know anything of physics and chemistry, he said, that first little electron in the inner orbit would be out here, and then he named a city that was 150 miles in the distance. Now, that's the construction of an atom. And then you have the same thing in another orbit out here. And all of these things is open space. Now, of course, it's so minute that we can't comprehend all that. But comparatively, you've got all this empty space even in an atom. And so all of our material has that makeup. And so what I have to look at is now we get to the eternal. We're going to have something, I don't know how it's going to be, but you see, He vanished. He went right in. Now read on. Verse 33, they rose up the same hour and returned to Jerusalem and found the 11 gathered together and them that were with them, and they said that the Lord is risen. And then verse 36, and as they thus spake, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them. Did he come in the door? No. Here he was, bodily. Not in a spirit, but in a flesh and bone body. Now read on down, verse 38, and he said to them, why are you troubled? Why do thoughts arise in your hearts? Behold, now watch this, behold my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Handle me. See, handle me and see, for a spirit hath not, what is it? Flesh and bone. Now what's left out? Blood. So in our eternal state, we can probably rest assured that we're going to be bodily put together in flesh and bone, but without a blood circulatory system. All right, and so he has flesh and bones. And when he had thus spoken, he showed them his hands and his feet. And while they yet believed not, for joy, oh, they were tickled to death to see him, and yet that stripe of unbelief is still sitting between them, and yet they just couldn't comprehend. And so he said in verse 41, have you any meat? Have you any food? And they gave him a piece of a broiled fish and a honeycomb. Now look in verse 43, and he took it and did eat before them. In that resurrected body. What was he proving? Oh, for all eternity, we're going to have a body that can still enjoy food. Now, those of you who love to eat, take heart. You're not going to have to worry about those pounds. You're going to be able to enjoy all these things without health problems, cholesterol, and what have you. But we're going to be able to enjoy food. Now, why do I say that? Now, hold this in your memory bank a moment. And let's go back first to the Old Testament, Zechariah, because a lot of people think, you know, that just as soon as you get out of the Old Testament and the New, that there's a great big wall between them. No, there isn't. They all fit together. Come back to the last Zechariah, next to the last book in your Old Testament. Find Matthew and just go back through Malachi to the left. Go back through Malachi and you'll find Zechariah and come into chapter 12 and verse 10. Going backwards, Matthew, Malachi, Zechariah, chapter 12, verse 10. And this, of course, will be at his second coming, when he returns to this earth. He returns specifically to the nation of Israel. Zechariah 12, verse 10, I will pour upon the house of David, upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem, the spirit of grace and supplication. They shall look upon me, whom they have, what? Pierced. And how are they going to see it? With their eyes. And they shall mourn for him as one mourneth for his only son, and shall be in bitterness for him as one that is in bitterness for his firstborn. Now I turn the page in chapter 13, verse 6. Same book, Zechariah, chapter 13, verse 6. And remember now, this is Old Testament. This isn't New Testament, this is old. And the prophet writes, verse 6, and one shall say unto him, what are these wounds in thy, what? Hands. Does the Spirit have hands? Does the Spirit have feet? No. Granted, he is a spirit being, but he's bodily. And then he shall answer those with which I was wounded in the house of my friend. So here you have a physical, visible manifestation of his resurrection, even in the Old Testament. All right, now let's come back into the New. And let's go back and see what the old Apostle Paul has to say. 2 Corinthians, chapter 4. And drop down to verse 3. And 4. Second Corinthians chapter 4, verses 3 and 4. Verse 3. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. in whom, that is in lost people, in whom the God of this world, now that's a small g, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them who believe not. You see that? Lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, now here it is, this is what I want you to see, lest the glorious gospel of Christ, who, speaking of Christ, is the image of whom? Of God. What's an image? It's the likeness. It's that which you can see and touch. Have you ever wondered why so much of the world is in idolatry and always has been? Because they want a God that they can see. They want a God that sits up there on the shelf and say, there's my God. Maybe they can touch Him. They can fall down and worship Him. They even get so foolish, you know, as to lay food in front of Him. But the whole thing is, they've got to have a God that they can see. And see, this is the whole idea of Christ being manifested in the flesh. God knew that. And so He permitted Himself to become visible, manifested in the flesh, so that man could no longer say, well, I can't worship an invisible God. I have to have a God I can see. We do have a God that men have seen. We haven't. But there was a whole generation that did. Thousands of them did. Paul says even over 400 at one time saw Him in His resurrection body. And so we have ample proof that He arose from the dead bodily, and that He is the very same God that created you and I in the first place, that went to the cross and purchased our redemption. But He didn't stay there. He's not dead tonight. He arose. He ascended. He's coming again. All right? And so Paul makes it so plain here that Christ is the image of God. All right, now let me take you back a little further to Colossians. Well, let's just stop at Philippians on the way through, because I like to do it so that you don't have to come back and forth any more than necessary. But now in Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3. Because all my land, I can remember, I guess, in my early years, I had no concept of our spending eternity in a body. I just thought we died and went to heaven, and after that I didn't know whether we strung a harp and somehow in soul and spirit heard good music and so forth. I don't know what I knew. But I know now that when we get into the eternal state, we're going to be there bodily, because look what this verse says. Verse 20 and 21 of Philippians 3. For our conversation, that's citizenship, is in heaven. Already, if you're a believer tonight, you're already a citizen of heaven. From whence, that is from heaven, we also look for the Savior. Not the king. You don't always have to point that out to people. We're not looking for a king. He's not the king to the church. He's the Savior. He's the head of the body. And that makes a big difference. Paul never refers to Christ as the king of the church. Only as the Savior, the Redeemer, the head of the body. He's going to be the King of kings and Lord of lords, absolutely, but not for us. Because we're never going to be His subjects. We're going to be His co-heir. It makes a big difference. So anyway, verse 21. This Lord Jesus Christ, of verse 20, shall change our vile, our corrupt, prone to death, prone to disease, prone to suffering, shall change our vile body, that it, this body, may be fashioned like unto His glorious, what? Whose glorious body? Christ. See that? We're going to be made in the same likeness as His resurrected body. And that's why I pointed out that He sat down with the disciples and ate fish, ate honeycomb. And yet He was in that eternal state where He went right through the wall, right through the ceiling. He can travel at the speed of light, and so will we. Oh, it's going to take no time to go from here to glory. That's not going to take long. It's going to be a split second almost. But whatever. And He's going to give us a body fashioned like on His glorious body, according to the working whereby He is able even to subdue all things unto Himself. Ah, now I just happened to think of another verse. Wasn't intending to use it. I hope I got time. Yeah, I do. Romans. Come back to Romans, and then we'll go to my next one that I planned on. That would be in Colossians. But come back to Romans. Romans chapter 8. A portion of Scripture that I'm afraid very few people understand. Romans 8. Oh, I wish I had time to just read all of these from 18 on down, but maybe I do. Let's read them quickly, otherwise it won't really make as much sense. Verse 18, where he says, "For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us." Now I'm in Romans 8, verse 18. Now 19. "For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God." That's you and I. "For the creature was made subject to vanity," or all of creation, really, "because of the curse. Not willingly, but by reason of him who has subjected the same," in what? In hope. In other words, when God dropped the curse on the planet and on the human race, what did he immediately do? Made a plan of redemption to bring back to himself everything that he had lost. All right, verse 21. "Because the creature," or creation itself, "also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. And not only they, but ourselves also, who have the first fruits in the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption," to wit, that is to say, what? The redemption of our soul? No. Our what? Our body. See that? Yes, we're saved and we're redeemed in the area of the soul. I know that. But what are we going to be when we get to glory? A complete person. And according to 2 Thessalonians 5, what's the complete person? Soul, body, and spirit. And we're going to have all three in the eternal state. All right, now my next one. I said back to Colossians. Colossians, chapter 1. And then the next one, if you want to look ahead faster than what the rest of us do, go to Hebrews, chapter 1. Colossians, chapter 1. Drop down to verse 13. Now, verse 12. Have to start where we can pick up the flow. "Giving thanks unto the Father." Colossians 1, verse 12. "Giving thanks unto the Father, who hath made us meet," or has prepared us, "to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who," speaking of the Father, "has delivered us from the power of darkness and has translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son." Absolutely. We're already citizens of that kingdom. "In whom we have redemption through his blood." Now, I don't think I have many of my classes that have newer translations, the NIV and the NASB and the Living and all the rest, but if you do, you'll notice this isn't in your Bible. Because, you see, those new translations have gutted the Scriptures, whether you know it or not. And so you don't have "through his blood" in your Bible. And I picked this up 20-some years ago. I'd be reading and someone would say, "Well, my Bible doesn't say that." It doesn't? No. Well, of course, now it's becoming evident that they have deleted thousands of words and verses from your new translations. And they have cut the meaning of so many others. It's just preposterous. And so I told Iris the other day, I don't know now why the Lord kept me in the... Or I do know now why the Lord kept me in the King James all these years. I've never deviated from it. I don't have another version in my house. Never have had. And as I've said on this program before, I said, I don't have a library. This is the only library I've got. But anyway, here it is now. Only got 30 seconds. Verse 15. Who, speaking of the Son in verse 13, is the image, the likeness, physical appearance of the invisible God. That's what Christ is. He is the visible manifestation in the flesh, bodily, of the invisible God.
Thank you for joining us again for Through the Bible with Les Feldick. If you'd like to order audio tapes, videos, or any of our printed material, you may do so by writing Les Feldick Ministries, Route 1, Box 760, Kenta, Oklahoma, 74552. That's Les Feldick Ministries, Route 1, Box 760, Kenta, Oklahoma, 74552. Or you can call us toll-free if you'd like at 1-800-369-7856. That's 1-800-369-7856. Remember, this is a faith ministry, and your participation with us is greatly appreciated. Again, our address is Les Feldick Ministries, Route 1, Box 760, Kenta, Oklahoma, 74552. And our phone is 1-800-369-7856. Thanks again for listening, and please join us next time for Through the Bible with Les Feldick.